now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Got a cool vintage magazine to check out this week, plus a very interesting tiki tour, which is about to set sail. Some news on the passing of a musical legend, but just who was this person really? And worrying news from the Mike Eye, and some swank advice on how to enjoy life more. A lot of talk of espionage these days. Russia coming up in the news. Wiretapping in the news. It's all very spy movie-like. So I thought, let's play Swing Ahead. And she could be a spy. You never know who is listening.
Some advice from an average guy. If you're seeing a dame who won't give you her name and she can't look you straight in the eye, she could be a spy. She's a suspect if there ever was one. It seems that she's living a lie. She gives you a wink as she pours you a drink, and she smiles as she straightens your tie. She could be a spy. Maybe she's packing some heat in her pocket, or slipping some stuff in your wine. She's staring right at the electrical socket, waiting for some kind of sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Cocktail Nation with Narco Lounge Combo and My Night with Sinatra. Check out my website, cocktailnation.net. You'll find links to various things, such as the Water Swank Gig Guide and my books as well. Licato Prince, Accidental Assassin. And we've got a new one coming up. Now, it's probably around by the end of the year it should be released. So a continuation of the Licato Prince, Accidental Assassin story. Looking forward to that. The Cocktail Nation. Alan Akeen joins me from the magazine Vintage Made, 100% Australian-owned Vintage Magazine. And I've got to tell you, Eleanor, I just love the feel of this. Not only does it have a great Australian feel, but I actually think it's a magazine that many people across the world would truly enjoy because of the different facets of vintage life that you touch. And that was the thing that amazed me, so many different facets of and eras of vintage life. So congratulations, it's a great magazine.
Thank you. Try.
Tell us a little bit about how this came about, because it's very professionally done. I gather you're all from a magazine background.
Well, I started writing for the magazine when it first started. I think we're almost about 5 years-ish now. And I've just started, as of the last year, I guess, in the editorial team. And I come from a very much a vintage and clothing background. In fact, I worked for a long time in the auction industry, cataloguing for historic garments. The magazine itself, though, is produced by Artwear Publications, who produce a very successful magazine throughout Australia called Textiles. So this is a sort of an add-on to their remit of their craft magazines. And yes, we have a whole lot of different people from quite different backgrounds, some from magazine backgrounds, but and others with more varied who sort of live the vintage lifestyle.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is often with some vintage magazines I've come across in the past, they often tend to cater more towards women than men, but I definitely think in this magazine, whilst probably predominantly your key demographic is probably women, certainly there's something in there for the boys as well.
Yeah, we try and have a sort of an open readership. There's a mixed age group of people working on the magazine too. So, and we do have a man on our staff writing. So we do try and have some articles that would pick up the interest of different people. It's a nice collection of articles that we usually have an historic piece looking at a designer from the past or. I think the last one we've had an article about barbecues and vintage barbecues.
Yes.
and then, you know, we are from a craft publisher, so there's always some craft activities and a sewing pattern to make in the middle. And I'm always trying to cover somebody out there in the industry. Recently, we've just done Pierre Anderson, who's a big one out there singing in the bars and clubs, and she also runs a big casting agency doing vintage extras. So we do try and include as many people out there in the magazine as well.
Yeah, I particularly like the book section that you had as well, which gave me a couple of ideas for books that I'd like to grab. So some great book reviews in there as well. The thing I think that is interesting with your magazine too is there's a bit of it's kind of like a socialites page almost as well. You know, you've covered some of the big events that have occurred in the last few months. It's a really nice, well-rounded magazine, and one of the things I think is very interesting, and people often, particularly people of our generation and younger, often go, "Oh, I hate ads. I can't stand ads." Of course, ads are a very important part of a magazine or a radio station or television station or any type of media, as much as people might whinge about them. But the thing I like about your ads is that these are things that I would potentially want to go to or buy. So that they're really specifically targeted to the vintage audience. So, they're definitely places, shops and things like that, or directories that I would use.
Oh, good. Now, we're all always after more advertisers. We are a small readership. A small print. But, we're a very selective print, and we are getting to the right people. So having those ads in there means that we've got the ability to buy photographic images, and they do help support the magazine and its structure and growth. So, we need the ads as well. Yes, they are generally very specific to the readership for the vintage maid.
Tell me a little bit about your vintage background.
Yes, I originally studied to make theatre costumes originally.
Right.
And then I ended up studying in the UK and got a master's in historic textiles and dress. So I come from a very, I guess, more academic, historic background.
You'd be a pain to watch Mad Men with, or...
Yes.
Or
no,
any period film.
Going, what are they doing? That's not the right costume.
That's not a 1956 tie.
Yeah. I mean, theatre stuff has always got a... a level of interpretation for television.
Yeah.
I enjoy working on the vintage maid. I work from home, and this is one of the things I work on, and it's a lovely little project to be involved with.
Yeah. Tell me I wanted to pick your brain actually when it comes to period costumes. Do you find when you do watch period pieces on TV and or movies. I'll watch anything. And people often pan a movie. They pan the Princess Grace one a while back about Princess Grace and Monaco. I thought it was fabulous because to me, you get to go there for, you know, 2.5 hours while you're watching a movie. And even if it's a fairly poorly put together plot line, I like to immerse myself in a time travel expedition for myself. Do you think that often in Hollywood they really get it right, or do they sometimes really get it wrong?
Oh, I think there's a bit of both. I mean, and there's a lot of sort of crossing over with period styles and modernism to make a modern audience appreciate it as well. I mean, Baz Luhrmann and Catherine Martin do that really well with the things that they produce. They did The Great Gatsby, you know, fairly recently, and there's a real crossover of having very contemporary clothing with that 20s edge. And so you get some people who purposely, you know, create this this edge of modernism. And then you get people like Marion Boyce, who's done all the costumes for Miss Fisher. She does a fantastic job at all the 20s clothes coming out of Melbourne. And, you know, they are very detailed, and yet she's quite a stickler for design and getting things right, but there are particular things that they have to create for their costumes for it to read well on television, like the shape of the cloche hat has to, you know, they have to be able to light the actress's face. You know, the white trousers weren't really that popular in Australia. That was more of a European thing, but it works so well for the Franny Fisher character. So I think there's always a bit of, when it comes to film and television, a touch of working it to the screen and the audience as well.
And I suppose too, you've also got to take into consideration somebody's age. I noticed in Mad Men, for example, you know, Don Draper, you know, he kept on wearing this pretty much the same types of suits, kept wearing the same style of hairstyle, whereas the younger people were changing their style and their hairstyle. And I thought, see, that's right, because if we think of even our fathers, for example, you know, most men, once they get a hairstyle or a particular suit, they kind of stick with it for a long time.
Yes, that's true. And I think that's, again, important when you look at some of the characters. Again, you see that in the Miss Fisher murder mysteries, where the older characters have got slightly more Edwardian styles. And again, in the Downton Abbey, which has been, you know, fantastically globally successful, you have the great, you know, matriarchs of the family, the Maggie Smith character, the Dowager. She never kind of quite moves past that 19th century style, although the youngsters are all getting very into the flapper 20s dresses.
Now, if you want to grab a copy of Vintage Made magazine, where's the best place to go?
Most of the news agents have Vintage Made in their craft section. And if they don't, they will order them in, news agents as a whole. Like I was saying, our publication Textiles is pretty much in every news agent I've ever been in. And so if they can bring that in, they can definitely get a Vintage Made in for you. Otherwise, you can get them through Artware Publications, and it is www.artwarepublications.com.au.
Fantastic. Great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
The Cocktail Nation. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the center of Sydney.
Hey, this is Tony Marsico from the Martini King.
Hey, this is Ricky Dad talking to you from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, this is Marty Lush from Marty Lush and Latin Livers.
3, 2, and 1.
Hey, kids, this is Sonny Moon with Nutty, and you're listening to the Cocktail Nation. It swings, Dad.
Yes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Intellectual sound.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we said our first hello, little did we know, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever. It turned out all right for strangers in the night. Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight, in love forever. It turned out all right for strangers in the night. For strangers in the night.
The Cocktail Nation.
Jumps ahead. Stick with us, you'll be well fed.
With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
The Cocktail Nation. Music for your hi-fi.
I used to love you, but it's all over. All over now. Yes, it's all over town. How you put me down. You shouldn't let that kind of talking go around. You've had your chance, but now it's all over. I'll get along somehow. The things that you did that I used to forgive, you'll never change long as you live. I used to love you, but it's all over. chance, but now it's all over. I'll get along somehow. The things that you did that I used to forgive, you'll never change as long as you live. I used to love you, but it's all over. All over now. All over now.
Cocktail Nation, Diana Krall, It's All Over Now, and Matt Munro, Strangers in the Night, plus Bert Camford and Chicken Talk. It's Coop Cooper, Lounge Leader. Do follow us on Twitter. Our handle is Cocktail Nation. The Cocktail Nation. Paddy Harrison from Ports of Paradise radio show on PBS in Melbourne joins me on the line. Now, you've got a very special tiki event coming up. What's going on?
Well, that's right. Well, for those that don't know, I do have a radio program on PBS in Melbourne, and PBS is sort of a community radio station. We broadcast 24 hours a day. Mainly sort of underrepresented kinds of music,
yeah.
Stuff that's sort of innovative, historically significant, but, you know, all run by volunteers and things. But my program sort of based around mid-century exotica and other similar music. But every year the station does run a sort of an overseas trip in conjunction with a local travel agent.
Yeah.
And the trip's led by one of the announcers. In the past, we've had a blues tour and a reggae tour, but this year I was asked to do it, and I'm going to be taking a group of like-minded tiki enthusiasts over to Southern California for 2 weeks and Hawaii for a week on the way home. So we're kind of aiming things at Tiki Oasis, which happens in August, of course. And while we're over there, we're going to be visiting places like LA, San Diego, of course, where Tiki Oasis happens.
Yeah.
And then on to Palm Springs, and then on the way home, Honolulu, and we'll try and get to the big island of Hawaii as well. So
it sounds like a dream trip, man.
That'd be fantastic.
Now, so what's the story? If people perhaps in your region want to get along to something like this, what do they need to do?
Well, we're having an information night this coming Monday, the 27th, down at the studios of PBS, which are on Easy Street in Collingwood. Just jump online to pbsfm.org.au, and there's some information on the trip itself and also the information night. So I think we're starting around about 6:30.
Fantastic.
Everybody's welcome. It would be good to RSVP to meg@pbsfm.org.au, but otherwise we'll see you down there.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I got put onto your show by a listener of my show, Shane McAvoy, who said, you got to check this guy out. Do you know this guy? He's in your country because he assumed that because we're both Australian, therefore we should know each other.
Yeah.
And I said to him, no, there's a lot of people here, mate. We don't know all each other. But that sounds like a trip of a lifetime, and you know, clearly very fortunate to be able to do this. This is a really great opportunity, and of course, I'm sure you'll be meeting a lot of tiki and mid-century enthusiasts from across the globe, both getting there and of course on the trip.
Well, just the other thing, it's not essential to be based in Melbourne to come on the trip. You know, airfares can be organised separately, of course. So if anyone is interested, just email Meg and we can sort of provide the information anyway, and you can
Excellent.
Join us wherever you like to join up.
That's a wide open invitation. Nice to talk to you, Paddy.
Thanks, Coop.
In a world, in a time. In a world in a time.
The Cocktail Nation.
Join the man who is about to receive a very different glass eye. A tiny television camera. Handy for espionage.
Don't you dare come back if you let the Russians get their dirty hands on that microfilm.
Broadcasting from the Sydney penthouse.
The Lounge Lothario. Coop Cooper. Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
telephone company. When dialing, notice that I brought my finger around until it firmly touched the finger stop. And now I remove my finger.
The Cocktail Nation.
Nation, Los Muchambos, and how insensitive. I'm going to be a little bit insensitive about the passing of a legend. Chuck Berry passed away. A rock music icon. But you know what? Rock has a seedy side, and I think Chuck Berry was well and truly part of that. The reason I bring this up is not really to muddy the man's name, because I think we tend to forget things in 2017. 1956 seems so far away. It seems like it's another world now, as we are well and truly into the 21st century. But history is very important, and we should never forget what really happened. On Chuck Berry's official website, you will find no mention of the word prison. This bit of revisionist history glosses over the fact that the rock pioneer had been incarcerated three different times and wasn't the nice guy that we all see on TV smiling as he does his little duck walk across the screen. A few people said to me, are you going to do anything on Chuck Berry? I said, well, Chuck Berry's not lounge, he's rock and roll. But then I thought to myself, you know what, historically I probably should mention this. From 1947 to 1950, he served 2.5 years for armed robbery. It was an interstate spree with the 19-year-old Berry hijacking a car at gunpoint and sticking up a gas station and a convenience store. In 1979, he did 3 months for tax evasion, but Berry's most notorious stint was from February 1962 to October of 1963, for violation of the Mann Act, which is transporting an underage female across state lines for immoral purposes. The girl was 14 years old. He also had another brush with the law in 1989 when he was caught secretly videotaping women in the bathroom of his restaurant, The Southern Air. Hopefully that makes it a little bit clearer who this man really was.
Swank. 10 times more addictive than marijuana.
Swank Advice with Coop on The Cocktail Nation.
Have you ever noticed how attached we are to our devices? And We just have to have them everywhere we go. We look at them a billion times a day. Now, I'm not going to try and shame you out of your device. I like mine as much as the next guy does. Much of the mass media will try and shame you, make you feel bad. And the next minute, they're selling you the latest iPhone. But consider this. Just consider this as a concept. Next time you go out, leave the phone in your pocket. If you have to have it on a table, or if you're at a bar or something like that, put it on silent and face down. That's what I like to do, so it's not distracting me. If you need your phone, you can make a phone call. If you're trying to catch up with somebody, you're trying to meet somebody, go, yeah, I'm over here, I'm at the corner of the blah, blah, blah street. Easy to do. You can just reach for it then. But those notifications on the phone are very, very distracting. Text messages, very distracting. You don't need to see them all right now. So put it on silent and put it face down. Not only will you not be distracted, but it shows a little bit more respect for the person that you're meeting with, that you aren't distracted by the buzzing machine in the corner that constantly wants your attention. Feed me, feed me, feed me. People are far more exciting and unpredictable and interesting, so by all means, enjoy your device, but know when to put it aside and focus on the more interesting and fulfilling parts of your life, be it sport, exercise, or just simply catching up with a friend. Here's Kenyon Hopkins now, Warm City.
We'll be right back. The Cocktail Nation.
Nation with Daniel Pemberton there, Bugs, Beats and Bow Ties, and Network Music Ensemble, Lady at the Bar. I'm going to leave you with Black Olive Jazz now and A Night in Tunisia. Stay up.
Thank you.
Peace.